Brian Alvarez here. You're listening to the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd.
You are listening to the number one AEW podcast, the Kicking Out Podcast, a podcast about All Elite Wrestling, hosted by my favorite host, Tanner Lee, Paul Zartman, and Austin Shepherd. So if you want to know everything that's going on in the world of All Elite Wrestling, AEW, then you need to listen to the Kicking Out Podcast. Please tell Thunder Rosa I said hello.
What's going on, KOP Nation? It is Sunday, July 27th, 2025, and I'm your host, Tanner Lee, for episode 236 of the Kicking Out Podcast. As you can see, if you're watching live on our YouTube channel or our Facebook page, that I am riding solo again this week, doing a rare early afternoon recording, live recording of the Kicking Out Podcast. Paul and Shep got some other stuff going on today, and, you know, I thought, well, I got some time early today, aside from our normal 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time that we usually go live, and I thought, I'd go ahead and I'm bored, so I'll go ahead and get on here and chat some wrestling, some AEW wrestling with you all, and also gonna get into discussing the passing of Hulk Hogan, who passed away on Thursday at the age of 71. But hopefully we'll have a full crew back next Sunday. I believe Paul's birthday is either next Sunday or sometime next week or next weekend. So maybe we'll be able to have a birthday celebration of some sort for Paul. But sorry again that it's a skeleton crew, just a one-man crew, and you got to put up with watching me or listening to me here on the Kicking Out Podcast. But hopefully you can sit back, relax, and we can have fun for a little bit, and hit that like button, hit that follow button, hit that subscribe button, hit that notification bell if you haven't already. And if you're listening to this podcast on your favorite podcast platform, please make sure you're following our podcast on Apple Podcasts or Spotify and give us that 5-star rating and review. We'd really appreciate it. So with all that said, all the housekeeping notes underway, let's get talking about some news, shall we? And as I kind of just mentioned, I mean, I will be hitting on a bunch of AEW-related topics. But first and foremost, I thought I would give my thoughts on the passing of Terry Bollea, better known to the pro wrestling world as Hulk Hogan, who passed away suddenly via cardiac arrest Thursday morning from his home in Clearwater, Florida. Pretty shocking. Pretty shocking to have that come across my phone right around lunchtime on Thursday. And it definitely hit me. And, I think I, like many around the IWC and the pro wrestling world, kind of conflicted by this. A lot of my memories when I was younger in the 1990s, when I grew up and first got introduced to the world of professional wrestling, were made and created by Hulk Hogan in WCW. Hollywood Hulk Hogan, I should say, as a member of the NWO, whether it was the original NWO, the Black and White, or later on the Red and Black and the Wolfpack. I was a pretty big Hogan fan as a younger guy. I got to thinking the other day, I never really got to experience too much of Hogan as part of Hulkamania. I mean, I wasn't born in the 80s, wasn't alive in the 80s when it was running wild and started in, 84, well, a little before 84, and ran through the 80s and then into the early 90s, then got into WCW. So when I got into wrestling, like I just mentioned, Hogan had already established the NWO. I think the first year I got into wrestling was like 98, 99 was kind of my peak as a child, and then I stopped watching for a while. By the time, not due to my personal choice, my parents made me stop watching for a little bit with the Attitude Era going on and everything hot and heavy. So I missed out from 2000 to 2002 when the WWF at the time acquired WCW. So I didn't get to enjoy Hogan and the NWO coming into WWF, and you know, Hogan and Rock at WrestleMania 18 in Toronto until a lot later on in life. You know, I'd go back and catch up on what I missed in those days. So I didn't get it, you know, the experience that I didn't get to experience his face turn and coming back with the red and yellow in the WWF and ultimately winning the WWF championship one last time over Triple H and then losing it to Undertaker and all that. But I did, you know, I got back into watching wrestling and 2003, you know, so I did experience his last two runs in the WWE with those main eventing SummerSlam against Shawn Michaels, and then having another SummerSlam match against Randy Orton, which would end up being his last match in the WWE. And then the stuff he did in TNA, I was kind of out again and getting on wrestling. You know, I picked it back up from 2003 to about 2007, then stopped the watching from late 2007 clear through 2010, and then picked professional wrestling back up in 2011 when the Rock returned, and in haven't stopped watching ever since. So you know, I didn't get experience a lot of the Hulk Hogan eras as others, but I just thought I'd share my thoughts on what I did experience as a younger fan. Majin, wow, this is early. Yeah, I know, Majin, it's kind of off the cuff here. Basically I was really bored and had some time, and I got notified that Paul and Shep wouldn't be able to make it tonight. So I thought, you know, I'm going to crank one out early on Sunday, but hopefully next week, I know I keep saying this, hopefully next week we'll be back at 8:30 PM Eastern Standard Time with the full crew. But, either way, I plan on being here because I enjoy coming on here, talking to you guys about AEW and making sure we get some content out to each and every one of you every week. That's the main thing. Making sure we get at least some content out to you. So back to my final thoughts here about Hogan. Like I said, when I got the news, it hit me two different ways. You know, the fan in me of the character Hulk Hogan, yeah, was upset because I mean, like I said, a lot of my childhood memories with the NWO, it was Hollywood Hulk Hogan. And let's be honest, professional wrestling today wouldn't be what it is without Hulk Hogan. I mean, WrestleMania pretty much started because of Hulkamania. I mean, Hogan main event at WrestleMania 1 through 9. If you go back and look at it, I mean, he was Mr. WrestleMania when it was first began. I mean, WrestleMania 1, he teamed with Mr. T and faced Piper and Orndorff. WrestleMania 2, he faced King Kong Bundy and Steel Cage. WrestleMania 3, of course, was against Andre the Giant for the WWF Championship, which wasn't the greatest match, but it's probably definitely top five most talked about professional wrestling match even now in 2025, if we're talking about it on a historical platform. WrestleMania 4, WrestleMania 5, he main event against Macho Man. WrestleMania 6 against Ultimate Warrior, supposed to be a send-off. Well, that didn't happen because WrestleMania 7 faced Slaughter. WrestleMania 8, Sid Justice. And WrestleMania 9, of course, Yokozuna, after he already had a tag match earlier in the night. And then, you know, Yokozuna, Bret Hart. I can go on and on about that, but I'm not going to. So 8 of the first 9 WrestleManias he main evented. And I saw a really sad stat the other day that only 4 main eventers in the first 10 WrestleManias are still living. That being Mr. T, Bret Hart, Ted DiBiase, and Sergeant Slaughter. Kind of blew me away. It's pretty sad. Pretty sad. But of course, you know, when I saw the news on Thursday, the other part of me, I mean, Terry Bollea, the man outside the ring, outside the character of Hulk Hogan, especially this last decade, I mean, you know, we all have flaws. Terry had flaws. We all have flaws. I'm not saying we don't, but he definitely made some mistakes, said some things he shouldn't have said, maybe even had some beliefs, in my opinion, he shouldn't have had. So that definitely, unfortunately, has overshadowed a lot of the legacy of Hulk Hogan, in my opinion. So that's why I think I'm conflicted like a lot of people. But I do have my Hulk Hogan Beach Shop shirt on today for this podcast. I did go to his beach shop last year when I was in Florida, in Clearwater, Florida, and had to pick up a shirt while I was there. But it's still kind of surreal knowing that, you know, Hulk Hogan's no longer with us. You know, he's supposed to launch this new American Freestyle League, wrestling league, going on with Eric Bischoff in just about 2 weeks. It sounds like Bischoff's still going forward with that. I don't think that's going to be successful, in my opinion. I don't think it would have been if Hulk was still with us. But yeah, just the timing around that and everything's pretty wild. As far as the character of Hulk Hogan, if you were a fan of his, if you weren't, the guy definitely left his mark in the world of professional wrestling, for sure. Catching up on some comments here. Majin, I left around 08 as I got bored of the same slop from WWE, LOL. Got back into it when New Japan did the Jericho Omega match. Been in like never before ever since. Yep. I've heard that from a lot of people, that Jericho Omega and got them back in before the creation of AEW. As I said, when someone asked me how I felt, I cried over Ozzy dying. I won't shed a tear for Hogan. Yeah, understandable. Understandable. It's been a wild week with Ozzy passing, Hogan passing. I know there's a few other celebrities that passed this past week. Just kind of surreal. He said, speaking of Bischoff, this is Majin. Speaking of Bischoff, you see he said AEW lasting longer than WCW is basically a participation trophy. Guy's just salty. Oh, yeah. It's jealousy. I still think a lot of it, in my opinion, I mean, it's never came out, but my opinion, I think he wanted a job with AEW and Tony wouldn't give him one, even though he made a few appearances on AEW television during the pandemic, especially in 2020. And I think he holds a grudge. And I think he just wishes that he would have had the backing in WCW that AEW has with a leader like Tony Khan. So yeah, he's definitely not a fan of AEW for sure. Lastly on Hogan, a few things I want to mention real quick before getting to talking to AEW, whether you liked the, character Hulk Hogan or didn't, he had a lot of accomplishments. PWI Pro Wrestling Illustrated gave him the match of the year in WrestleMania 1, 95, Mr. T and Roddy Piper against Orndorff, or with Mr. T against Roddy Piper or Orndorff, I should say. 88, Andre the Giant, WrestleMania 3. 1990, WrestleMania 6 against Ultimate Warrior, and 2002 against The Rock at WrestleMania 18, which is, I always said, that's one of the matches I would choose to show somebody that's not a pro wrestling fan if they want to get into it, just for the crowd reaction alone. Crowd reaction was pretty crazy. Pretty crazy. Steffi, hey, in the chat, she's watching NASCAR. Yeah, I know, it's earlier than normal. I was bored and got wind that Shep and Paul couldn't join me tonight, so I thought I'd knock one out earlier than normal. But hopefully next week we'll be back at our normal standard time with the whole crew, but nonetheless, somebody will be here pumping out some content next week for you all, because we appreciate you all tuning in and chatting up, chopping it up with us every week. So thoughts and prayers to Terry Bollea, Hulk Hogan's family and friends, and he's a legend and an icon in the wrestling world. Controversial figure, absolutely, but definitely an icon and legend. And in my opinion, if we're making a Mount Rushmore of most influential people in professional wrestling history, he's got to be on there. Am I going to put him on there on my Mount Rushmore favorites? No. Best wrestlers ever? No. But as far as influential, absolutely, he's on there. He's, in my opinion, was the biggest star in the history of the business. And I don't know if we'll ever see a star as big as Hulk Hogan was. I mean, the guy at times was larger than life. And unfortunately, Terry Bollea couldn't separate that at times. So, but thoughts and prayers to his family and friends for sure. For sure. So, Majin said, knock one out earlier than normal. Phrasing. Yes, that's right. Yeah, Steffi says, in the y'all's neck of the woods today, NASCAR. That's right. It's down at the Brickyard. You know, let's see. I went to the Brickyard 400 back every year from 05 through 2010 with my grandfather when he was 11. He was a big NASCAR fan, and that's when I was into it. I was a big Dale Jr. fan back in my day of fandom. So, yeah, saw Tony Stewart win there twice. Saw Jimmy Johnson win there three times and Jamie McMurray once. So, yeah. And I also would go to the Busch Series race, as it was then called, then the Nationwide. And now I know it's not even called that. I would go to those races too. So, yeah, very good times. And that's a great track in the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. I know I don't have to tell you as a racing fan, but most famous track in the world. Judge on YouTube, can't wait for this Dynamite. Oh, it should be a good one. It should be a good one, and I thought this last Wednesday was pretty good. I think they're doing a really good job advancing stories. And that's all we can ask for. You know, that was the criticism against AEW for a long time from the IWC, that, no, AEW can't tell stories. AEW can't tell stories. Well, they're telling some really good stories right now. Some really good stories right now. Let's get into some AEW news, shall we? Let's talk about what's going on, because there's a lot going on. Before I do that, though, Majin, am I the only one who doesn't like the rematch being this soon? Yeah, I'm kind of there with you, but I'm glad we're not getting it at another pay-per-view. I was kind of afraid we might get it at Forbidden Door. Or All Out. And I'm glad they're doing it on a Dynamite instead. Because there's no way that Hangman's going to lose the title to Moxley. I'd be absolutely shocked. Judge, we need Goldberg versus Steen at AEW. No offense, Judge, but hard pass on that. Steen had the perfect send-off. Doesn't need to be in the ring again. I want nothing to do with Goldberg and AEW. Even though that was one of my bold predictions 2 years ago. Because I thought he would show up. But, yeah, we don't need that. We don't need that. Nostalgia is a hell of a drug. Don't get me wrong. Don't get me wrong. We don't need that. Chief, early today, I see. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. I was bored and thought I would go ahead and, like Majin said, phrasing, knock one out. Majin, you just got off Texas Death and you're immediately running the rematch so soon. Let them heal in kayfabe first. Good point. Good point. At least we're getting a different kind of one-on-one match. With no outside interference allowed at all. If it would have just been another one-on-one match without any stipulation or a stipulation kind of like a Texas Death where it's no rules, then I'd be like, yeah, what are we doing? So if they stick true to the no interference and it's truly one-on-one, at least we're going to get that. And to be honest, I do want to see Hangman put Moxley's shoulders down for the 1-2-3. Sure, he made him tap out, and then we had that six-man tag there, both involved in on last week's Dynamite, but he pins Claudio and not Mox. So I do want to see him put Moxley's shoulders down to the mat. And I'm still wondering when we're going to get the end of the Death Riders. I'm still thinking it's going to be some sort of blood and guts match that we finally get the official nail in the coffin to the Death Riders or the breakup or whatever it's going to be. I don't know. And maybe something happens this Wednesday night in the rematch, and that's a way to write Moxley off TV for a while. I don't know. But it should pop a pretty good rating. Chief, have you seen any of the G1 matches Kesha is putting on bangers down there in Japan? I have not. I've been following it a little bit, some of the results. I haven't caught any of it. I'm glad to hear that. I think that dude, I know it, and I know Shep's been on record before. He thinks he'll be in the main event of Wrestle Kingdom come January, and he should be. I mean, it's time to strap a rocket to that guy's back for sure. And one of my news items I was going to talk about was related to the G1 Climax tournament and Gabe Kidd confirming his withdrawal due to injury, which that sucks. I was really hoping that he was going to be all right and able to compete, but nope, he's got a withdrawal. So hopefully he heals up and we see him back on TV soon, because that dude's got the F factor, in my opinion. I like what Gabe Kidd has done over in New Japan and on AEW when we've seen him on AEW television. So, yeah. A few more comments here, Judge, on YouTube. I have a feeling that the ref is going to go down and someone with a ref's uniform will help Mox. Well, that'd be interesting if they do. I sure hope it doesn't mean that Mox is winning that title back. Way too soon, in my opinion. Hangman needs at least a couple months run. Majin, you see the unified title will now use the Continental rules going forward. No interference. Yes, because of Okada beating Omega. Yeah. I hope they continue to bring that up on television, though. Remind everybody. Because I can already see it now in the first United title defense that Okada has. People are going to be complaining about the rules, and it needs to be brought up. It needs to be brought up. Chief says, yeah, I'm disappointed with Gabe Kidd. I swear this was his year. Sadly, injuries are part of the game. Absolutely. Absolutely. It's a tough business. You know, people can call it the F word, can call it fake for all they want, but injuries happen. It's still a physical business. Injuries happen, unfortunately. And sometimes at the worst timing, too. So, yes. A few other news and notes here. AEW TBS champion Mercedes Moné retained her Rev Pro Undisputed British Women's title over the weekend. Let's see. She defended it in the main event of Revolution Pro Wrestling Summer Sizzler last Friday against Sapphire Reed, who's a rising star in the UK and a former EVE champion. So she's still Mercedes 8 belts. And my prediction is that they get the TBS title off of her eventually, and she'll feud with Athena, because I think Athena is going to take the AEW Women's World title off of Toni Storm. We'll see if it comes to fruition, but that's my booking. That's how, if I had the pencil, that's how I would draw it up. Steffi says, hey guys, we have a rare appearance. We have a sighting of my hockey nut son. Say hi to Owen. Hey Owen, what's going on? Hockey nut. That's not a bad thing at all. Not a bad thing at all. Majin, who should dethrone Mercedes for the TBS? I would have said Mina, but we saw what happened there. I agree. Should have been Mina. Would have made the all-in match even more compelling with her and Tony, but they didn't do it. Great question. A few women I'd like to see are currently heels, so I don't see that happening. That's tough, because I don't feel like there's any good baby faces. Like, of course you could do a Willow or a Stat, but both have been there, done that, and been TBS champs. Maybe Queen Aminata, but I think they really got to heat her up and start getting some wins. Alex Windsor, maybe? Once you get her a little more established with the AEW crowd, maybe? I know she lost to Athena last night of trying to get the ROH title off of Athena, which that was her historic 30th world title defense in the main event of Collision last night, which I was not able to catch Collision. I was trying to watch today on replay, but for some reason my TV was acting up with it, so I couldn't get it going. So hopefully I can catch that later, because I want to see that match. Athena beating Alex Windsor, and I like when the ladies' main event Collision, which is, you know, I gripe a lot about Dynamite and the lack thereof of women's matches, but it seems like Collision's kind of becoming known for the show that's going to have a majority of the women's wrestling. So I guess if that's a known thing going forward, I'll stop bitching and complaining as much as I do about it. Majin, this Tony versus Athena feud already has more heat behind it than Tony and Mercedes did. Yeah, Yeah, even though I thought their match was great at All In, I agree. That's that. That was one thing. I thought the buildup was kind of meh for that match. So, yeah. Steph says, hello, fellow Winnipeg Jets fan. Got another one. Another Jets fan in the house. We'll allow it. Majin. Oh, Alex Windsor. I can definitely see it. I was going to say stat. She's lost to her twice, but is super motivated to hold the title again. A third time's the charm. Yeah. Third time's the charm. I can see that. I still kind of, you know, and I know you've talked about this, Majin, when, and you've discussed it in the comments on the pod before about Stat being a heel. I wish they'd just go ahead and pull the trigger on that. Pick one alley and stick with it. I mean, they flip her as much. This is going to be a weird comparison, but as far as the AEW women's division is concerned, Statlander flips as much as Big Show did back in the day in the WWE. As far as face and heel is concerned, heck, you can say that about the Giant too in WCW, I guess. You can say that about Paul White and his whole career, flipping from babyface to heel and back and forth. Another news item, unfortunate one, reported by Fightful. Yeah, it looks like Switchblade Jay White's injury situation is looking worse, not better. Just when we were getting reports and thought he'd be back, he's been off TV since he suffered an injury in late March. But Fightful announced not only is White out of action with a hand injury, which was publicly noted by the first ever New Japan Grand Slam champion after his match with Kevin Knight on March 29th, he's also dealing with a shoulder injury. No confirmation was mentioned on whether Knight will proceed with the surgery as he's weighing his options on the matter as of this report. If he does go through the surgery, expect the former AEW World Trios and ROH six-man tag team champion will be out of action for the rest of the year. Yeah, that sucks. That sucks. The Bang Bang Gang just can't stay healthy. Speaking of the Bang Bang Game in their injury history, Juice Robinson detailed the significance of his recent injury. He was talking, he sat down for a candid interview with Renee Paquette on Close Up, which was really good. Go check it out if you haven't already. He commented on a slew of injuries. He said, and I quote, I think what made it, his recent injury, a little bit more significant for me was the year before I had another injury. I haven't really went into detail about either of them. He then explained that he had spinal surgery after rupturing a disc in his lower back that was pressuring on a nerve and giving him issues with his leg to the point where he couldn't use it at all. And I quote, it was at the point where it couldn't have gotten much worse. We get hurt a lot, you know, like spine, like that's like brain, heart. Those are, you know, a lot of different things. But spine, Robson further expressed that it was hard to sit down for as long as he had to. A lot of introspection. What am I doing? How long have I been doing this? Where am I at in my career? What's left? You know, Robson also admitted that he's about halfway through his career and has yet to define what he wants to be known for, but sees this as a fresh slate. So definitely getting a whole new look and reasoning behind this Juice Robson character. And I can get on board with it. I can get on board with it for sure. Majin, any update on Mina? I believe it was her hand, right? Yep, that's the latest thing I read is she broke her hand. So no other report on that. So hopefully she's not out too long. Those tend to more times than often, I think, for wrestlers heal quickly. So, and Juice Robinson picked up a big win last night with Austin Gunn as the Bang Bang Gang defeated Big Bill and Brian Keith in the World Tag Team Title Eliminator Tournament, which Tony Khan finally released the full bracket before last night. Of course, we saw FTR defeat Jet Speed in a really fun tag team match. Bang Bang Gang then had defeated Big Bill and Brian Keith, like I said, last night on Collision, so they will face FTR next. This Wednesday night, we're getting the Outrunners and the Young Bucks. That'll be fun. And we're getting Gates of Agony versus... Brody King and Bandido. So, Brodito. I was like, who in the heck? I can't read that. Brodito. Okay. So, I got to think the Gates of Agony will beat Brodito. They're getting a nice little push with their partnership with Ricochet. I want to see the Bucks will beat the Outrunners, but I don't think they do Bucks against Gates of Agony heel to heel. I'm going to go with the upset, and the Outrunners beat the Bucks. The Bucks characters still go a little crazy, not being EVPs anymore and not getting their pyro. Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to throw it out there. I think at Forbidden Door, I think the finals were going to get Gates of Agony. You know, I'm going to go with the Bang Bang Gang. I mean, it was originally supposed to be the Guns, but they had to switch plans because of Colton Gunn's injury. It would make sense if the Gate and Agony faced the Bang Bang Gang at Forbidden Door for the tag team titles because of their interaction with Ricochet and the Gates of Agony at All In. Looked like it was going to set up a nice little feud, so they could still find a way to do that. If that's the case, I think Gates of Agony is probably your new tag team champ. Or no, excuse me, not tag team champions, facing the Hurt Syndicate at Forbidden Door for the tag team championships. Yes. Yes. Majin, a few comments here to catch up on. I need this Tekla, Julia, Sky Blue team to develop some this week. This next week they've given us that they're teaming up, but not a why behind it. Need more there. Yeah, and if I'm not mistaken, I saw in the notes of Collision last night, they have a name for their team now. It's escaping me right now. I don't have it pulled up, but yeah, I agree. I like a why. Why is Tekla with them all of a sudden? Besides that, her and Julia both like to hang like a spider in the ring. And Majin, and did I call it or did I call it? Harley Cameron coming back, helping TJ, three of them teaming up soon. You did call it. Got to get props where props are due, my friend. You called that one. Absolutely. And he also says the Bucks apparently wanted to lose the AW tag belts at one time in a squash to the Outrunners. Do we see an upset? Yep. I think Outrunners beat them. I think so. Heat them up a little bit more. I mean, the tag division, it's got the elements there. Just got to put the right pieces in play. Judge on YouTube, do I play Call of Duty? I do not. Do not. I've played it before. I'm not a consistent player and don't own the game. So, no, I don't. No, I don't. And one other news item before I give my thoughts on this week's Dynamite and what I liked and didn't like. Bryan Danielson explained why AEW All In 2024's win means more to him than his WWE WrestleMania 30 championship victory. He did an interview with Sun Sport News and revealed that WrestleMania 30 milestone means less to him than his All In London match. And I quote, "What meant the most to me about that match is my family being there. My kids got to see me wrestle. My daughter was old enough to be able to remember it for the rest of her life." Danielson explained, noting that while he might just be a dad, his daughter will remember the moment her dad was cool at Wembley Stadium forever. "Pretty soon I'm not going to be cool, but I'm just going to keep reminding her so we go remember that time that I was cool." In contrast, Danielson explained that at WrestleMania 30, only his sister and his niece were allowed to come into the ring. Despite being set to marry Brie Bella the following Friday, she wasn't allowed to be a part of the milestone with him. "And then it wasn't just that I was going through a ton of neck pain," he added. "So these things that seem like cool moments to a viewer, there's all this other stuff going on in a wrestler's life or in a performer's life that could make that moment not as valuable to them as it is to the people viewing." Very good reminder there. Very good reminder there. So, and of course, the IWC that got the Fed heads, as I like to call them, the pro wrestling fans that like WWE and WWE only and no other promotions exist outside the WWE, and they're not going to acknowledge that they do, yada, yada, yada. That just got them in an uproar. Just got them in an uproar. Absolutely. Majin, I can see the Outrunners even beating FTR due to the distraction by Cope finally beating them. Another good point. Another good point. And then we'd get Outrunners versus Hurt Syndicate for Forbidden Door, which we've already seen that once. But, yeah. Interesting. There's a lot of directions they could go there. A lot of directions they could go there. Majin, I got a question for you, since you're watching live, and hopefully you're going to stay on long enough at least to answer this question. When do you think we see your boy Chris Jericho back? I honestly thought he'd be back by now. It's interesting with the rumors of his contract potentially ending at the end of the year. We're almost in August. He's been off TV since, I want to say April, if I'm not mistaken, since around the time of Dynasty. So just throwing that question out there to you, my friend, and I want to get your thoughts on that. Well, let's talk about Dynamite that took place in Chicago as the residency is still going on through next week. I liked the start of Dynamite. It gets a thumbs up from me with Hangman Adam Page, the world champ versus Wheeler Yuta. And Page getting some revenge for the Death Riders attacking his good friend Colt Cabana and leading Colt in a bloody mess on last week's collision, choking him out with a chain. I mean, Yuta blindsided Page with a tope suicida when Hangman was making his way to the ring. But once the bell rang, Page was firing off right hands, sent him crashing into one of the barricades, sent him crashing into another barricade, dumped him back in the ring, hit him with a fullway slam, followed up with a boot to the face, Death Valley driver, buckshot lariat, 1, 2, 3. Then after the match, he got the chain he brought with him to the ring, wraps it around his hand, hit Yuta with it, rings down right hands on him, using the chain, choking him out. So that's how you get revenge. That is how you get revenge. Majin said, Jericho's waiting for a storyline to come back. I can see him potentially being involved in the Forbidden Door stuff, so probably soon. He also says, Caveman, a.k.a. Wheeler Yuta, is going to split off from that group soon. Something needs to happen to put an end to them, for sure. For sure. FTR versus Jet Speed. It's part of the Tag Team Eliminator Tournament. Thought this match was awesome. One of the better tag team matches we've seen on TV, aside from pay-per-view all year, I think. And FTR is good about that. I mean, they probably put on the best tag team on AEW television history when they put on that classic on Collision about 2 years ago against Jay White and Juice Robinson. I'm not saying it was the best tag team match in AEW history, because in my opinion, that's on a pay-per-view. That would be either Revolution 2020 Hangman and Omega versus the Bucks, or just this past one, All in Texas, of the Bucks versus Ospreay and Swerve. But if we're talking just strictly on AEW television, Dynamite, Collision, or if you want to throw in the shortly lived Rampage there, then I think that one with FTR against Juice Robinson and Jay White was, that takes cake for me. But this one was a hell of a match. FTR gets the win in the end thanks to Stokely helping him cheat with his crutch, which I know I've been on record saying this, and I wish Shep was joining me, because I'd like to get his opinion, because he was so against Stokely joining his boys FTR, but he's been the perfect fit for those guys. Big Stoke has been the perfect fit for a heel FTR team. So it's been really good. It's been really good. Majin, did someone check on Paul? We got that eliminator match, that show, plus an eliminator tag tournament. And another thing Paul can't stand is we're getting a TNT title match on Collision next week between Kyle Fletcher and Dustin Rhodes in a Chicago street fight. You know, Paul's such a big fan of those insert city name street fight matches, which I think that actually will be a really fun match. And I think Kyle Fletcher gets the TNT title off of Dustin Rhodes. I think it's a short-lived reign for Dustin, but that'll be a bloody one. That'll be a fun one. So I'm all right with the Chicago street fight stipulation, but yeah, between all these eliminator matches and that going on, Paul's probably pulling his hair out. Poor old pulling his hair out. Modern said Big Stoke has made FTR promos watchable. Yeah, he's been good. He's been good on the mic. He's been good on the mic. Judge, please don't say Jericho's name, because he will appear. He's a big turnoff, especially when he wrestles. And he also says Dustin needs to lose to Kyle. I think he will lose to Kyle. And with Jericho, I've talked about it on here numerous times. You know, he's not needed for AEW in 2025 like he was, especially at the beginning in 2019. But if they can repackage him and bring him back, you know, the last time we saw him, he was showing a heel character, a different side of his heel character, an aggressive side toward the Big Bill and Brian Keith. I'd like to see that version of Jericho come back. I'm just curious about his contract status, if it is for sure coming up at the end of this year or not. And if it is coming up, is he going to go back for one more run in the WWE, or what are we doing there? So, yeah. And then, yeah, Judge, you asked for it. Mod says Chris Jericho, Chris Jericho, Chris Jericho, three times like Beetlejuice. And he says he's not Joe Henry. Oh, crap, I said the name. Well, he didn't appear here. But I think he will be appearing full-time in WWE as soon as his contract's up. Steffi says, but I saw a certain person in ECW's old photos. Holy mommy milkers. Now I got to know who you're talking about. Can't say that without dropping a name here. Let's get back to talking about Dynamite a little bit. One thing I'm going to give a thumbs down and a thumbs up, so I guess a thumbs in between, was that we heard from Will Ospreay. And that's because I like how they addressed him being injured. But I'm not sure how I feel about it. Like, I sure hope he's able to go at Forbidden Door in less than a month on August 24th in his backyard in the UK. But, like, if he's, you know, hurt with a vertebrate issue, like he was talking about, or, you know, two herniated discs in his spinal cord, I should say, they're treatable, like, got to be careful with that. I'll be very careful with that, because Big E hurt those same vertebrae, of course, and broke his neck. But, like, I sure hope they don't rush it. Let me put it that way, to get him back. But his timing sucks with him coming off that big tag team match with Swerve, that win with Swerve over the Bucks at All in Texas, and now with Forbidden Door coming up. But with his style in the ring, let's make sure he's fully healthy before he comes back, even if it's missing the pay-per-view right in his backyard. Steffi, there's only one person I would say that about, Don Murray. I thought that might be who you're talking about, but wasn't sure. All right. Another thing on Dynamite I wanted to talk about that I didn't. I went right past my notes here. After FTR's win, you know, Shivani comes to the ring, joins FTR and Hathaway, says everyone in AEW knows that he's not a wrestler. Or Stokely takes Mike, says everyone knows he's not a wrestler. Copa knows business, putting his hands on him last week, but Cope's music hits. He makes his way out. Stokely reminded Cope that he can't get in the vicinity of FTR. Cope says, oh, yeah, I forgot about that. He says he made a business deal with some gentlemen and says they were willing to come to the ring to do what he can't. And that's being in the business of hurting people. Hurt Syndicate's music hits. Bobby, Shelton, MVP make their way out. MVP shakes hands with Cope. And Lashley and Benjamin start firing off on Wheeler and Harwood. It's security guards, officials run in, but they keep going at it. So that was fun. That gets a thumbs up for me. I like that. Even though it's heel against heel, you know, we talk about this a lot, but are the Hurt Syndicate really heels because the crowd likes to chant for them so much? So, yeah. Yeah. Tony Storm versus Billy Starks gets a thumbs up for me. Women's World Championship Eliminator match. I like how they're tying it in with the Athena feud. Of course, I mean, we knew Billy wasn't going to beat Tony, but it was still fun. And then after the match, we got a nice angle with Athena involved and Billy and Tony. So it was all good. Swerve versus Cesaro. Anytime Swerve's wrestling gets a thumbs up for me. And then we got Okada and Swerve building to that after the match, which, like I said last week, that's a match I didn't know I needed until I saw them face-to-face. So really excited about that. MJF and the stuff with MJF and Jay Briscoe. Mark Briscoe, excuse me. I was reading that he brought up Jay's name. I'm going to give a thumbs down. Went a little long for me. I do want to see a match between these two just to pay it off, pay everything off that was in the build-up to the late build-up into All In Texas, but it was just a little long for me. By the way, speaking of MJF, has anybody in the comments watched Happy Gilmore 2 yet? The wife and I watched it on Friday, and we enjoyed it. Of course, I'm a big fan of Happy Gilmore 1. I thought it had its dumb parts, don't get me wrong, but overall, I thought it was a fun movie and a lot of good cameos from celebrities and professional golfers, and MJF, AEW's MJF, had a big role in it. WWE's Becky Lynch had a role in it, a little smaller than MJF's role, but I thought MJF did a good job as one of the Gilmore Boys. So just curious if anybody's watched it yet, and if so, if you enjoyed it. Lost Stream X says, honestly, I feel like Athena should take the title off of Tony. I 100% agree. I think she'd be the perfect choice. Imagine if Athena takes the title off Tony, the division will never see that title again. Athena going to be the forever AEW Women's Champ. Hey, she's a good worker, so sign me up. Sign me up. Imagine, I know I have Netflix, so I can't watch it yet. Gotcha. Yeah, it's if you get a chance to watch it somehow, maybe at a friend's house or something, it's good. I enjoyed it. For a sequel, I mean, sequels are never as good as the originals, let's be honest. If anybody can name me a sequel they like better than the original, I guess some of the Rocky ones you can make an argument to me about. I mean, I liked Rocky 3. You know, Hogan was in that with Thunder Lips, and he had the Russian. But so I liked Rocky 3, but I'm still not going to put it over Rocky 1. But a lot of other sequels, I mean, there's been some decent sequels, but I can't think of any sequel that was better than the original film. Let me put it that way. One thing that did get a thumbs up, another thing that did get a thumbs up for me this week involving MJF was backstage when he, you know, was getting on the Hurt Syndicate and Bobby Lashley puts him up against the locker, pretty much said, I'm tired of you being in our group. They pretty much said he's being selfish. So we're starting to get some cracks in the foundation of the partnership that is MJF within the Hurt Syndicate already. So got to be interesting to see what that leads to. Who screws over who first? Who screws over who's first? All right, Majin. You corrected me. Empire Strikes Back. That is my favorite Star Wars movie. I can't believe I didn't think about that one. I do like that one better than New Hope. Terminator 2, Godfather Part 2, Captain America, The Winter Soldier. Gotta say, I haven't seen any of those in full, those other three you mentioned. So I can't give my opinion on those. But I think you might be the first person that I've ever seen that says Godfather Part 2 is better than Godfather 1. Yeah. But hey, teach their own. Teach their own. That's a whole rabbit hole we can go down there when we're talking movies. But we won't do that. We won't do that. Mark Briscoe and Claudio, main events. Gotta be honest. I sound like a hater, but I'm really not a Mark Briscoe hater. But thumbs down for me. I mean, it was fine match, but I don't know. For a Dynamite main event, I don't know. We did see Darby Allin appear in the crowd. Claudio spotted him. And that opened the door for Mark Briscoe to get some big spots in on Claudio. You know, after the match, we got Marina Shafir delivering a chop block to Mark. John Moxley grabbed a microphone, called out Hangman, saying he doesn't want the AEW World Championship. He says he wants to make sure no one in AEW gets too comfortable. Paige makes his way to the ring, says Moxley was lying when he says Paige doesn't want a Texas death match. He says Moxley's wrong and saying Paige doesn't want the AEW World Championship despite believing in himself. He offers to put his AEW championship on the line against Moxley next week on the condition that everyone is banned from ringside. Paige then heads to the back as the Death Riders leave through the crowd and the show goes off the air. So like Majin said earlier with the question, is it too soon? Definitely make the case for it. But it should be fun and should put some eyeballs, maybe more than usual, on Wednesday night's Dynamite. So let's see, catching up on some other comments. Judge here, when do you think the women's tag belts are coming in? Who do you want to see win it? I mean, they made it sound like by reports a month ago they'd be coming soon, but it wouldn't shock me if they don't introduce them till early 2026 at this point. And then I see you followed up with, I love Megan Bain, Chris Statlander's tag champs. That'd be a powerful team for sure. I think there's a lot of women you could put it on. Even Megan Bain and Penelope Ford, I think would be fine. If Willow and Stat could heal their relationship, I think that'd be fun. TJ would be fun. There's a lot of good. Julia and I'll say Julia and Tekla. Even though Julia and Sky Blue would be fine, Julia and Tekla, this new faction they have, that'd be good too. There's a lot of good combinations of women. That's why I think they should introduce the women's tag belts. I was against it at one point a few years ago with how they were using the division, and I thought AEW just had way too many titles. But they're going to start getting rid of some and unifying some others. I see no problem bringing the tag titles. But one thing I would like to see with tag titles, trios titles, for AEW and ROH, I wish they would combine them, and then they can be defended wherever, whether it's on AEW television or ROH television. I don't like how they have two separate tag titles, two separate trios titles. I think they should just combine them, especially the trios. Steffi said, hey, put some respect on that movie, The Empire Strikes Back. That's my favorite Star Wars movie, so I'm putting some respect on it. Lost Stream X, yep, I agree. He says, I love Mark Briscoe, but I think he just needs a break. That's what I've been saying for weeks. Like, I got nothing against the guy. He's entertaining. He's a crazy son of a bitch. But we see him on TV every single week, sometimes multiple times. And it just, he's starting to get a little stale for me. Just take a break. Sometimes, you know, absence makes the heart grow fonder type deal. At least it would be for me. So... Majin, man, how much better has this page run been already? He's carrying himself as a champion already, far better than this version. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. He's a different man, different character than we saw him 4 years ago, and he's ready to carry the company on his back. Even though I will say, I thought his run was pretty good, his first run. If you remember, he had a lot of good banger matches. Like, he was defending it all the time. It just kind of, in retrospect, sucks how it ended, losing it to CM Punk at Double or Nothing 2022 with what we know now, with how Punk's title reign went and the rest of his run in AEW. But, you know, looking back, they shouldn't have pulled the trigger on it, but that's for the past. So I didn't think Hangman's run was too bad in 2021, but I'm already enjoying this one more. Yeah, like I said, I like his character more than I did 4 years ago. So, wants to call Willow and Stat the Scissor Sisters. Yeah, I know. I'm going to go to the punishment corner. Corner time. And he said, today's word of the day is pickle, as in MJF got a tiny kosher pickle. And they even got a shirt up at shopaw.com for that. So, and I'm sure it's selling pretty good. They got a lot of MJF merch right now for it. I think they're trying to take advantage of his appearance in Happy Gilmore, too. I saw they had some golf-related items. A golf polo with the AEW logo on one side, MJF logo on the other. And then had his face on a golf ball, which I got a collection of golf balls I used to have up here in my office. Now I just don't really have room for it. I might have to get one of those just so I can put it. I don't have any wrestling-related golf balls, so that might be a cool one to put up in my golf ball collection for sure, for sure. But, you know, I just was mentioning merch. And wow, this is really weird, Majin. You literally read my mind. I was just about to bring this up. So speaking of shirts, I ordered two shirts from Pro Wrestling Tees recently. You know one of them. Yes, Majin was kind enough to buy a KOP, a Kicking Out Podcast shirt from Pro Wrestling Tees. That's right. We got about five or six shirt designs over there on Pro Wrestling Tees, and a majority of them you can't get on our other shop. So go to Pro Wrestling Tees, type in Kicking Out Pod, and you can get one of our t-shirts. There are, if you're not interested in any of those, we do have other t-shirts on our store that we run ourselves, kickingoutshop.com, where we not only have t-shirts, we also have hoodies, drinkware. I think we got a tank top or two on there. We used to have hats, don't have hats on there anymore, but yeah, and some alternative logos over there and some other fun shirts. So So yeah, either way, we appreciate the support. If you want to support our podcast, look great doing so, go to Pro Wrestling Tees and look up Kicking Out Podcast, or just go to kickingoutshop.com. Mod said, be like him. Buy some KOP merch. No, truly appreciate it. Can't wait to see the picture of you in it when you get it. It's much appreciated, my friend. And you've been a loyal listener and viewer of the pod for multiple years now. And it doesn't go unrecognized by us, for sure. And Steffi says, Marks, hey. I'm not calling anybody nothing. But also, if you want to support our podcast, you can also just hit that like button, that follow button, that subscribe button on all social media platforms. We're at Kicking Out Pod. We're on Facebook. We're on X. We're on Instagram. We're on Blue Sky. And we're on YouTube. And you can go back and find a whole archive of our shows and other content on our YouTube channel. And we're on all major audio podcast platforms. And if you're listening on Spotify or Apple Podcasts, please give us a 5-star rating and review. That really, really helps us out a lot. And if you want to follow us individually on social media, you can find me on X and Instagram at TannerLee92. You can follow Ship at TheShip27. And you can follow Paul at PaulZartman87. So that's all right, Majin. That's all right. No need to apologize. Judge, which product do you prefer to watch now, AEW or WWE? I prefer AEW. That's the main reason why I created this podcast, or Paul and I created it in early 2021. That's currently our favorite promotion. Not to say that there isn't stories I enjoy going on in WWE right now, or talents I don't enjoy, like right over here over my right shoulder. I got a little Cody Rhodes shrine because Cody Rhodes is my favorite active wrestler and was before AEW even started. Of course, I like Cody. I'm looking forward to his SummerSlam match at against John Cena, the street fight, and I'm hoping he turns heel. I don't think he will, though. I think it's too predictable. I think they're laying the seeds to make us want to think he's got to turn heel, which I think he ultimately will within the next calendar year, I'll say, but I don't think right now is the time to do it. Right now, I would love to see it happen, but I don't think they think right now is the time to do it. And I agree with what Maj said. I think AEW is the better product right now. I really do. And you know, if you would have asked me a year ago, year and a half ago, 2 years ago, even though I enjoy AEW more, that's my favorite promotion to watch, I probably would have said WWE was the better promotion because they were on a little bit of a heater there. But I think since WrestleMania season on this year, AEW has been the more consistent product. Just my opinion. And like I always like to preach, watch your wrestling, watch whatever you enjoy. If that's WWE, AEW, New Japan, TNA, any of the independents, GCW, whatever it is, watch your wrestling, support talents, buy their merch. It's all good. The more wrestling, the better. More wrestling, the better. And Steffi said, Majin, don't anger the Fed head. So I hope nobody that's watching or listening to this podcast would get angry over somebody else's opinion. I hope not. Lost stream next. Is it true that WWE is trying to counter program AEW Forbidden Door? Absolutely, it is. They have scheduled NXT Heatwave, next NXT PLE to run same day on August 24th. So, yep. And Majin saying, come for him, Fed Head. So if you're out there and listening to this or watching it, and you are a Fed Head, which I will categorize what I think is a Fed Head, is somebody who watches WWE only, but not only that, because that's fine. I mean, if that's all you want to watch and that's your favorite promotion, that's fine. But to me, a Fed Head is somebody that watches WWE only and will not acknowledge any other promotion or never say anything nice about any other promotion. I mean, you can still say nice things about other promotions, and that doesn't necessarily mean you have to watch it. But, or doesn't, you know, if somebody jumps over for AEW to WWE, they don't acknowledge anything they did in AEW at all, you know. So that's what I consider Fed Ed. Everybody can have their own opinion, their own definition of it, I guess. Majin, oh, I've already dealt with the Fed Edge just by watching AEW. I think we all have a little bit. We all have. Judge, I got my all-out ticket when it came out. Oh, that's awesome. Enjoy. In Toronto, September 20th. That should be a hell of a show. And, oh, you live in downtown Toronto. Okay, very cool. Very cool. And Majin's still trying to swing a way to go to it. So, well, Majin, I hope you can find a way to go to it. That'd be awesome. I think that's going to be a heck of a show. All Out's usually one of my favorite events they put on every year, and I'm excited for it to go up north, have a different scenery than Chicago, even though I only live 3 hours away from Chicago. I've never been to All Out. It just never works out with my schedule. It seems like every year I kind of get pretty busy on weekends during football season, college and NFL as a fan, so I don't really usually doesn't work up with my schedule to go, but I think it's great that they're running it somewhere other than Chicago. Chicago gets enough. Chicago gets enough. Judge says, I go to all their shows when they come here in Toronto. Very cool. Toronto's always a hot crowd. It's always been historically a great wrestling crowd. And anytime AEW goes there, it's usually a good show. And I, too, Majin, I'm excited for the Edge and Christian return. Or I'll say Cope and Christian. I got to get used to saying that. But, yeah, it's happening. I would be shocked if they don't face FTR at All Out on September 20th up in Toronto. I think that's definitely what we're getting, and I'm here for it. Sign me up. In that case, nostalgia is a hell of a drug. Hell of a drug. Although at this point, would it be CNC? Yeah, I think it would be CNC at this point. But I get the fans that say he's always going to be edging me. I totally get it. I totally get it. So. But with that said, everybody, I think I am going to wrap it up. But thanks for hopping on for an earlier than usual recording of the Kicking Out podcast. It's been fun chatting with you all for over an hour, discussing AEW and even discussing the Hulk Hogan's passing. And glad we could all be cordial about that and get our feelings and thoughts out there, because it's definitely a controversial subject, a controversial figure in the world of wrestling. But like I said, he's definitely an icon and legend, and I think there's never going to be a bigger star in the pro wrestling world, and in my opinion. I'll leave it at that. But hopefully we'll be back our normal time next week, next Sunday, 8:30 p.m. Eastern time, which you can catch at least me and hopefully Shep and Paul as we kick out yet another podcast. Have a great week, everybody.
This is where I say goodbye and good night.